Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. All right, well, welcome again to Shanghai Community Fellowship Online. And before we get into today's message, I want to talk about next Sunday, which would be June 12, 2022, as we're watching this. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating communion together. And we haven't done that online since the most, well, quite well over a year, I think. I think last time we did that online was in 2020. So we're going to be celebrating communion, as I said, online. So we're telling you that now, a week in advance, so that you can prepare. Now, the celebration of communion is for Christ's followers, for Jesus's people. So we are inviting you as a follower of Jesus. If you have sought Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and made confession to him, and then you are submitted to his leadership, his lordship in your life, then we invite you to celebrate communion with us as the community of Jesus's people. So telling you this in a week in advance, we hope that you'll be able to get a few of the elements prepared so that you can enjoy and celebrate communion with us next week. So go ahead and get crackers or bread and prepared. You want to do that. Just a small bit of cracker or just a small piece of bread, not even bite size, even something small. Think if you've had communion in a church or with SCF, maybe it's been a long time, but you know, it's a fairly small wafer. So just a bit of a cracker or just a small piece of bread. And then if you want to prepare grape juice or wine, whatever you would feel comfortable with, or really any kind of juice, if you can't get to the store for grape juice, you don't have that in your home. But I would recommend grape juice or wine, things that are traditionally used in the celebration of communion. And to have those prepared before the June 12th, 11 a.m. service, then we'll go through communion together and seek the Lord as we seek him at the communion of his table. And so that's next Sunday, June 12th. And we hope, really look forward to doing that as we come back together again. And just remembering that Jesus is the host of the table. He is host to the world. And that's such a beautiful imagery there, by the way. I just say this off the cuff. You know, that's such a beautiful imagery because the maker of the heavens and earth has made for himself a table where he invites us to share bread and wine with him. And in inviting us, he makes it possible. He makes a way for us to sit at table with him. And all that it means to enjoy the hospitality and the friendship of God himself. Wow, it's beautiful and reality altering, actually. It's not just a symbol. It really changes how we live life and do life and what our lives mean as we live it out on this planet. Anyway, that's all for next week. I'm obviously looking forward to celebrating communion with you as well. All right, now back to this week. Today is, this weekend here in China, we have been celebrating a major Chinese holiday. And we have been celebrating this weekend, I think Friday, June 3rd was the official holiday, the Dragon Boat Festival, or Zhuan Wujie. And we've been celebrating this holiday. And of course, you know, the tradition behind the holiday is that in ancient China, many, many, many years ago, there was a beloved scholar and court official who was so distraught and so upset when his state was defeated that he decided to just out of his just disappointment and frustration and all of that, he decided to throw himself into the river and he was drowned. Well, he was so loved by the people and so cared for because of who he was and the life that he lived. Such a dear friend that they all decided that the thing to do would be to get in their boats and go out into the river and toss in rice so that the fish would not eat the body of their friend, but the fish would eat upon the rice. And so that's kind of the essence of the legend behind Dragon Boat Festival. Actually, there are some other stories to go with that, but that's a big one. That's a main one. And it's one of the reasons why traditionally on the Dragon Boat Festival, we eat something called zongzi. which is, that the glutinous sticky rice wrapped in and cooked in banana leaves. And so I remember our first year living in China, 2001, and we were invited to, participate in this festival, do some of the traditional things, including eating zongzi, which was, wow, that was a look to me anyway, as a Westerner and somebody, just brand new in China, that looked like a lot of rice, like in one go. It was kind of cool the way it was wrapped. There's kind of a secret to wrapping it, I found out. But, and of course, being new and a foreigner here, everybody wanted us to try their zongzi. And I ate a lot of that in those early years. But I did find out that it did get a little better, because that was a lot of rice for me, that I found a version of zongzi that had little beef cubes, nice, juicy, tender beef cubes tucked into the rice, so that helped. Several years ago, I was introduced to another custom of taking that a banana leaf wrapped sticky rice, kind of in a triangle shape, thick, and dipping it in sugar. And I thought, dipping it in sugar. I said, this is perfect. I said, I'm from Ohio. I said, I'm from the US. I said, we'll eat almost anything as long as it's dipped in sugar. And so that's just a new way to get to enjoy this holiday. So now, I said, that was a lot of time on the Dragon Boat Festival on a Sunday morning. Well, this weekend was and is the celebration of another festival that may not be quite as popular or well-known in China, but it is another festival celebrated in the world and all over the world, like Dragon Boat Festival, by the way, not just China. But that festival is called the Festival or the Feast of Pentecost. And that comes to us from the Jewish people. From the Jewish people, we have the festival or the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. It's called that as well. And this goes all the way back to very, very early on when the people of Israel were gathered around Mount Sinai or somewhere in that period where they were told that during the period of 7 weeks from the feast or barley harvest to 7 weeks later, approximately the wheat harvest, that they were to celebrate this festival. And it was a time to celebrate the gathering into the harvest. It was also a time to separate the first fruit of the harvest. So all of the abundance of barley and wheat were coming in, that you would separate out the first fruit. And that was to be offered to God as an offering to him, especially to give thanks for the land that produced the barley in the harvest. And it was a way to express and remember that the reason we can have a harvest is because God was so good to us that he gave us the land to produce the harvest. And that offering was an expression of gratitude. And you can really kind of see the sense of that, and the perspective that it changes when we realize that what we have and what we enjoy, not to take it for granted, but that it comes out of the blessing of God, that every good gift comes from our Father above, as James would later say in the book of James in the New Testament. But the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost also was a celebration of the giving of God's law on Mount Sinai. So it kind of brought together a celebration of the harvest, an expression of thanksgiving that it's God who gave us the land so that we could have a harvest, changing our way of looking at things where God is our source, but also a celebration for the gift of his law that he has given to us on Mount Sinai. So, and that's the Feast of Weeks. Now for Christians, there is one particular, and by the way, the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost is still celebrated by Jewish people all over the world. So there's one, but for Christians in particular, there's one special Feast of Pentecost that gets separated and celebrated particularly. Because at this particular Feast of Pentecost, some 2,000 years ago, in the first century, it was there that the promised gift of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, was given. It was at that particular Feast of Pentecost that the promised gift of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, was given just as Jesus said it would be, just as he said it would be. And that's what we celebrate as followers of Yeshua, as followers of Jesus, that we celebrate that particular Feast of Pentecost, because on that day, on that feast, and at that feast, the gift of the promise of the Father came, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you think about what happened there. Now that just wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't random. Jesus has specifically said to his followers, his people, that community gathered around him, there were about 120 particularly, that they should wait, that they actually go into the city, he said, and they should wait until they receive the promised gift of the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see as we go on that that wasn't just a promise and an instruction, if you will, to wait and anticipate the gift of the Father, the promised Holy Spirit. That wasn't just for that particular group of people. That's for all of us who follow Jesus. Now, that particular group, of course, they knew Jesus. They had lived with him for 3 years, 120. There were 120 of them who lived with them for 3 years. They knew Jesus to be an exceptional person. Those who were closest to him, the 12, of course, but the 120 as well, knew Jesus to be an exceptional person. Now, this didn't mean doesn't mean to say that Jesus was a particularly skilled public speaker. Wow, you're really good at public speaking, Jesus. You know, I've heard a lot of speakers before, but you're really, really good at that. It wasn't that Jesus was a very good organizer. You know, when they saw him feed and organize those 5,000 men that day and then fed them, I thought, wow, you're very good at organizing people. You're terrific. And it wasn't that he was an exceptionally skilled organizer. You know, it wasn't that. It was that they saw the power of God in Jesus's life. They knew that Jesus wasn't just an exceptionally gifted human being, that the power of the Spirit of God was on Jesus and in Jesus. They knew that. They saw that. They said, this is, Jesus is unlike any other person that we could possibly imagine or know. And it was there in that hope and in that experience with Jesus that their hopes would begin to rise, that with Jesus, this indeed could be, and if not, as far as we're concerned, the Messiah of God, that things and this world is going to change. God has arrived. The kingdom of God has arrived. And this is the message that Jesus was proclaiming. The kingdom of God has arrived. Get out, you know, watch out, here it comes. And so it made their disappointment at the crucifixion of Jesus all the deeper, because they believed that world transformation was coming in the person of Jesus Christ. And then like that, his life is snuffed out. He's crucified and humiliated on a cross, executed by the Roman Empire. Now, if they could remember, and eventually they would remember, that during those 3 years, Jesus had been talking to them about his future. He'd been talking to them about laying his life down. And toward the end there, at the end of those 3 years, he was specifically talking about his life being raised up in 3 days. I mean, he was really forecasting what was about to happen to him, and yet they could not hear it and they could not receive it. You know, for every single one of those people who knew Jesus, although they believed in resurrection, for them, resurrection was something that was going to happen at the end of the age, after the kingdom of God had come, after the Roman Empire had been overthrown, after the 12 tribes of Israel had been established in leadership, giving leadership for the entire world. I mean, they had all these expectations, and then the resurrection would come. And not only would it come, but it would come for a whole people, for all the world, particularly for the Jewish people. What they did not anticipate was that one single person would be raised from the dead to be the first fruits of resurrection. There's that word again, the first fruit of resurrection, yet for another time, for those who believed in him to follow him. They did not see that coming. And so as they saw Jesus crucified, and although they heard him talk about resurrection, they just couldn't get it in their head that what was actually going on. And it reminds us of how we can so often be. For God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. It's God that is speaking to us, but we can't hear it because he's saying things that are not familiar to us. He's at a different level than we are at. And he's talking about vision and plans, and he's giving us a foretaste of his leadership and his leading, but it's hard for us because our view is limited. We want to bring God down to the familiar, that which is familiar to us. We want to bring God down to what we are expecting. But our God and with our God, all things are possible. We want to make God be the kind of God who does what we think is possible, and we forget that with God, all things are possible. And so when Jesus died on that cross, they scattered. They were in fear. They were uncertain. They were terrified, actually. And then like that, somewhat unexpectedly, although all the clues were there, Jesus was raised on the third day. This is the Easter message, right? Jesus was raised on the third day, and it was a tearing and a part of the cosmos. It was just a shift going on completely, as the world would never be the same, because Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who gave himself as a ransom for many, dying in our place, was raised to new life and would ascend to the Father. But before he would ascend, he would say to his followers, to his people, go into Jerusalem and wait there, because I have a gift to you, for you, from my Father, and it's been promised to you. So go into Jerusalem and wait for the gift. Here's what he said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Verse number 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so that's what they did. That's what you would do, right? That's what I would do. I was with Jesus, and he said, the resurrected Jesus, and he said to you or to me, go into the city. I want you to wait there. I want you to wait there until you receive the gift of my Father's promise, his gift, our gift to you. You go, and you say, let's go wait. And that's what they did. All right, and so here's what happens next, Acts chapter 2 now. And when the day of Pentecost, again, the Feast of Pentecost, that's why we're celebrating it today. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, just as Jesus said. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They began to speak in multiple languages. And in the city for the Feast of Pentecost were Jewish people from all over the world. And the city was filled probably to 2-3 times its normal size, crowds and crowds of people. Think People's Square subway station at about 6 p.m., just packed with people, and up on the balcony, second floor there at the Line 2 subway station, a group of 120 people in their meeting, and they're just shouting out the praises of God in multiple languages. And you're standing there on the main floor or in the street, as this is probably the case, and you hear God's praises and hallelujahs being spoken in your native language. And you're like, whoa, what's going on here? I came to Jerusalem. I figured we all speak Aramaic whenever I come here. Now I'm hearing my own language. And you know how attuned we are to our own languages. And we hear that. And that's what happens. Now, initially, they think, some kind of a riot going on out there. No, actually, what they thought was that some party had been going on all night, and a bunch of drunk people just started shouting and yelling. Why would a bunch of drunk people shout and yell the praises of God? But that's probably another question for another day. But that's what they think is happening. as they stand on the street below and they hear these shouts of praise and the sound of that was just described, and they hear the sound of this. And so Peter steps out from that room and steps into the crowd and say, friends, I've got something to say to you. And here's what he does. He says, he stands up with the 11 and raises his voice and addresses the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. Verse 15 of chapter 2. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Jesus, or rather Peter, boldly stands out among the crowd, people, thousands of people gathered. What are you guys doing? And he says, this is that prophecy that all of us probably know. We're all Jewish people around here and reading our Bibles and prophets for, since we were little kids. You know that one from Joel chapter 2. Well, that promise and prophetic word then is what is being fulfilled right here and right now. The Holy Spirit, Peter has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he is empowering people to make a this is that kind of a statement prophetically right there and then. And Peter goes on to say, therefore, as he explains the connection to Jesus, the same Jesus who was crucified in this city and then has been raised from the dead. He goes on to make the connection between Joel and Jesus, who's been crucified in this city. He says to them, going on, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the crowds of people, thousands of them there that day, heard this, they heard the message that Jesus, who they knew, who had been crucified in the city, knew to be a man of great miracles and of amazing authority, was indeed crucified. Everybody knew the story, except the two on the road. But anyways, everybody knew the story. And Jesus, or rather Peter, proclaims this same Jesus has been raised from the dead, and God has raised him and made him both Lord and Messiah. And he invites them to believe on him. When all the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. They wanted to know, what should we do? They hear the good news about Jesus. Their heart is the Holy Spirit, who has empowered Peter to make the connection between Joel and Jesus. The Holy Spirit, who has entered into and is inside of Peter, and because of this gift has empowered him to proclaim the truth. The Holy Spirit is present, so that those who are also present from all over the world are hearing this information, this news, and in their hearts they know we are hearing the truth and we want to believe. What do we need to do to respond to the truth that we are hearing? And Peter says, you need to repent. You need to turn from your life, turn to that life without Jesus in it. That life, turn from that life and turn to him. Seek the forgiveness of your sins in his name and receive the gift of the promise of the Father. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. This promise is for you and your children. And in saying your children, he brings all of us right into it. And then the wave begins to move. On that day, some 3,000 people respond as the Holy Spirit is filling up the place. As he comes and is received by Jesus's community, then he moves like a wave across the city. And that wave is going to move across the city and then out into the region called Judea. And that wave of the Spirit is going to move out into neighboring countries. And that wave of the Spirit is going to move out and to the, what the Bible calls the uttermost parts of the world. And that wave of the Spirit bearing witness to the Lordship of Jesus, that he is truly God's Messiah, that wave of the Spirit that bears witness to Jesus would eventually get to your home country and would get to your family and would get to you personally as you would hear this news and like them say, what must we do to be saved? You know, as 3,000 people responded today, that was a miracle. You've got to understand, maybe you do know, that for people to hear this news and respond in faith to believe is itself a miracle. Some of us know just how big of a miracle it is because we know what we were like before we trusted in Jesus and turned from our sins and believed in his name and received the promised gift of the Father. We were the kind of people that people prayed for in prayer meetings. We were the person that people said, oh, he's horrible. We were the kind of person that she'll never become a Christian. We were the kind of person that persecuted Christians, made fun and mocked Christians. We know that we were the kind of person that for us to come to faith, it would take a miracle, and it came as a miracle through the power of the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift would continue to reveal itself over and over again in and through God's people, in and through the followers of Jesus. At one point, Philip, one of Jesus's people, one of the followers of Jesus, would cross a cultural barrier. He would cross an ethnic, a racial barrier to go into another country called Samaria. You know, Peter or Philip was Jewish, and this whole thing got started in Judea. And Judeans and the people from that part of the world hated the people from Samaria. The racial hatred against Samaritans on the part of the Jews in Judea and the Samaritans against the Judeans was well known. No one ever crossed that barrier. But because of the power of the Spirit, because of the gift of the promise of the Father, Philip is able to go and do something no one could have dreamed possible. He crosses a racial barrier of hatred and goes to proclaim the good news about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and new life in his name. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on. Ananias was a man living in Damascus when he heard that Saul, a persecutor of Christians, was in their city. And the Holy Spirit would say to Ananias, I want you to go and I want you to pray. Jesus wants you to go and pray for Saul so that he might receive his sight and that he might receive the promised gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and encounter Jesus that much more completely and fully. And that's exactly what happened. And it continues to go on and on. Ananias would go, went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, because of the gift of the promise of the Father, Paul, this same man, would eventually go to a city called Ephesus, and he would meet some people that had been baptized in the name of John the Baptist, but didn't know about Jesus, and he would tell them about Jesus. The presence of the gift of the Father, the presence of the gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to help others as well as ourselves to go farther in, deeper in, and higher up, as C.S. Lewis would say. This is also revealing the gift of the Spirit. Philip, again, would run alongside a man from Ethiopia who just happened to be reading the Bible but not understanding its message. And he would say, what are you reading? And the Ethiopian would say, I'm reading Isaiah, but I don't understand who the prophet is talking about. And Philip would be present to answer his questions. Again, being led by the Holy Spirit, revealing what the gift of the Holy Spirit would be doing in his people. It happens over and over and over again. That's what I want us to see over and over again. Paul would be seeking direction. He'd already been church planting in southern Galatia, town after town, kind of hit the southern rim. They're kind of moving up, about halfway up. Their thinking is we're going to go and hit the northern rim, and we'll go there to plant more churches. But they sense that the Holy Spirit is telling them not to go. Sometimes that's how it is. It's not that you're not doing a good thing. It is a good thing. Planting churches and cities and towns who have never heard about Jesus is a good thing. But the Holy Spirit is telling them not to go and do that. Sometimes, like with Paul, it's because not there and not now. And so they wait. Well, the Holy Spirit is not leading us to do that. We just don't feel that that's what we should do. We're just kind of going to wait here. And they pray and they're waiting. And God is faithful. The presence of the Holy Spirit reveals the faithfulness of God to you and to me as we see his kingdom come where heaven and earth meet. And that night, Paul would receive a vision and they would say, now, come here. This is where I want you to go. And a man from Macedonia would say, come and help us. And Paul said, that's it. He would get up the next day and tell his friends, his companions, and he'd say, that's it. That's where we're going because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we hear these stories about the wave of the Holy Spirit moving across the then known world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and moving out and beyond all these places, we have to tell ourselves and remind ourselves that these stories are not fiction. These are not make-believe stories. These are not made-up stories. These are historical events. They are historical narratives, but they're more than historical narratives. This is God's story. This is God's story that is being told to you and I here and now, so that you and I might enter into that same story that God is telling us and has told then, so that we might enter that same story so that we can see heaven and earth meet in our generation. The story that is being told in the book of Acts that begins with the promised gift of the Father to wait and receive the Holy Spirit is being told to you and me so that you and I might enter into that same story in our generation and see his kingdom come, heaven and earth meet here and now. To move from the crucifixion to the resurrection, to move on as we see God do an incredible thing and see the Spirit come in our time, in us. God has a gift for them. For them to receive. And like every gift, it must be received. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a thing, it's a person. The person of the Holy Spirit is God's gift to his children, you and me. And it must be received. As they went to wait in the city of Jerusalem so that they might receive that gift, you and I can receive the same gift, promised gift of the Father, the person of the Holy Spirit. I thought of a bit of an illustration here. Here we go. It made me think, this is what came to my mind. I'm living here in Shanghai, and I've lived in China almost 20 years, and many listening today, you are living in Shanghai right now, or you've lived here. But what came to my mind is that this is like giving your eye to a friend who is getting ready to make an international move. To say, I'd like to send my IE over to help you with the cleaning, the organizing, the sorting, and the packing up. And that's something we might do right now. If you're not here with us and you say, well, what's an IE? An IE is like a maid. And so, you know, you're packing up, you're going to make an international move. And those of us who have done this and our friends have done it, and some are doing it right now, that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. There are things that you need to do. Officially, boxes you need to tick off, banking you need to do, you need to clean your place, you need to pack things up. It's just a lot of work. Now imagine your friend saying to you, I'd like to send my IE over to help you. I'm going to just send her over for a day or 2 days, as long as you need her. She's going to come over. She's going to help you sort. She's going to help you clean. She's going to help you organize. And I'm just sending her to you as my gift to you. She is my gift to you. It's a person that I'm sending to you. And so she comes over to help you to clean, sort, and prepare. She's fully capable of helping, of the sorting and the cleaning and the organizing, but you have to receive her. I mean, if she comes all the way over, she comes over in a taxi or a Didi, and she comes to your door and knocks, you know, I've come, your friend has sent me over to help you, but you don't let her in, she's not going to help. She won't be able to help. You've got to receive her. You've got to allow her inside so that she can fully help, so that you can fully realize the gift that she is to you. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you know Paul, he's going to emphasize the moral part of the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the gift of the Holy Spirit is going to help us live better lives, more like people have been stealing. Well, they're going to stop stealing now. And people have been living in adultery. They're going to stop living in adultery now. They're going to do that anymore. Their moral lives are going to get shaped up and cleaned up. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul tends to emphasize. John will tend to emphasize that the gift of the Holy Spirit will help us to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit is present, and his gift to you and me is to help us see Jesus, especially the way Jesus would want to reveal himself to us in this particular time in our lives, maybe even on this particular day. We see the character and the person of Jesus because we need to see the character and person of Jesus. So that when Jesus says to us, "My peace I give to you," the gift of the Holy Spirit is to make that connection between my troubled life and the gift, that peace that Jesus has for me. That's what John would emphasize. But Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, is helping us to see the missional dimension of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke wants us to see how we have received the Holy Spirit so that we can see and be a part of heaven and earth meeting in our generation. So we shouldn't be surprised, but we often are, that now is our turn. It's our turn now. It's our turn to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's our turn to be a spiritually powerful person in our generation. It's our turn to receive the gift and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to respond in this way. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses, not you can be my witnesses. No, he said you will be my witnesses. Friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is your time. It is your turn to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you might see heaven and earth meet, for the kingdom of God to advance in your generation and in your family and in your occupation and work that he has given you to do. It's time. You might be surprised by that. You say, "Really? Me? I find that a little bit surprising. You don't know me. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know my people. You don't know my tribe. You don't realize how insignificant we are. You don't know how bad I used to be. You don't know how bad I am now." And we come up with all kinds of reasons to dismiss ourselves. And a lot of that is just, quite frankly, plain false humility. So often it's our pride that's getting in the way from receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we might be the one to take our turn and see his kingdom come. His promise is to come and fill us with the promised gift of the Father, the gift of the Spirit, so that we might go into all the world, to move from here into all the world. I remember years ago, we had a student here from a Muslim country. And he came one Sunday after corporate worship time, he approached me and he introduced himself to me. And that's when I found out that he was from a Muslim country. And he told me like a confession. He said, "I want you to know is that I've actually been attending here for several weeks. I sit in the back, you didn't notice me." But he said, "I'm from a Muslim country. And I got to say, where I'm from, I don't even know of a church anywhere where my hometown. And even if I did, I don't know any Christians. And I just wanted to come." He said, "I hope that's okay. I hope that's okay if I just kind of come on Sundays and sit among you. I just don't know what Christianity is about. I hope that's okay." And I said, "Yes, of course, it's okay. Come every week. Come as often as you want to come. And if you have any questions, let's talk." And we have been filled with the Holy Spirit for just such a time as this, and for young people just like this to go to all the world, or when all the world comes to us. God has poured out his Spirit in the last days, and he has poured out his Spirit, and he has given his gift to everyone who believes, for every follower of Jesus. And that's important. And here's why: because everyone means everyone. Everyone can be filled with the Spirit of God, men and women, young and old, the rich, the poor. And those first century days, these categories were really important, Jews and non-Jews. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, every one of us who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means, in my way of thinking, which means that there is no need to wait for someone else. If we can all be filled, and if we all can speak his words, and if we all can speak filled with the Holy Spirit and touched by the Holy Spirit, speaking through us, giving witness to Jesus, then we don't need to wait for someone else to come. It's you. It's your turn. It's me that God is calling. It's me that God is asking to share. It's me that God is asking to serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. What are we waiting for? It's our turn to be filled and to share what we know about Jesus. No need to wait for someone else to come. We can pray. We can pray for people. I really think that with this moving, this receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and then moving in that power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is God's promise to us, that means that we're not going in our own strength, right? It means that we're not going out and doing this on our own. That when we go to pray with someone, when we offer to pray with someone, we are not just praying in the name of Dale, you know, good wishes on you there. I hope everything works out for you and good luck with that. Think of this way. That's not what's happening. We are praying in the name of the risen Jesus, and we have the authority and power of the Holy Spirit to be present in this person's life to pray for them. And can I suggest to you that if you haven't done that or haven't done this in a long time, that the next time you hear someone talk to you or tell you about a need or a struggle or a problem, that you might suggest at that very moment, can I pray for you? Can I do that? Yes, you can do that. Can I pray for you? And I remember one time I was talking to somebody and I said that very thing. I said, can I pray for you? And they said, here? Like right now? I said, yeah, if that's okay, yes, right here and right now. I said, well, okay. And you can pray in Jesus' name. And can I encourage you to do that? And I think what's happening, how does this work? You know, with the presence of the gift and the promise of the Spirit in me, that when I step out in faith to say to this person, can I pray with you right now? That as I exercise my faith to pray, as I step out in Jesus' name, I'm not praying in my name. I'm not offering to help you. Dale's going to help you out. Dale's going to send you a check. You know, no, when I step out in faith to pray in Jesus' name, believing that he can make a difference in this person's life, I believe that's where the power of the Spirit meets us. That's where the fullness of the Spirit is revealed as we step in faith to do what we have been called to do. We can also lay hands on people. You know, again, laying hands on someone, you read about it here in the Acts. It's not magic. Just want to make that really clear. It's not magic. We shouldn't do it suddenly, you know, like just unexpected, grab somebody like that. That's going to scare them. But I think when we lay hands on someone, and we are going to, you know, we might touch a friend on the shoulder, you might, you know, hold someone's hand, you know, those kinds of safe, you know, non-threatening kinds of touches, that might happen in the course of a business day. But when we do that as an expression of the presence of Christ and the Spirit between us, and we do that as an expression of faith to lay hands on that person, again, appropriately, non-threatening ways, we have to say those kinds of things. But when we do that, we are acknowledging the presence of Christ, who is greater than us, and the powerful presence of his Spirit, who has filled us and allowed us to be present in this moment to be praying and with you. So we lay hands. Right? So you can do that. Build bridges. Be a peacemaker. Share with someone the difference that Jesus has made in your life. And be sensitive to what God is doing right here and right now. All of these allow us to see the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit present in us as we live our lives as they lived their lives and saw his kingdom come. And use your language to speak the praises of God. Use the language that God has given you to speak the praises of God and proclaim his wonders. Now let's go back to our IE analogy for just one more time. If I can stretch that a little bit more. So we've let our IE inside the house. So we say, okay, you know, someone sent me a gift. Someone said, I'd like to send you a gift by sending my IE over to you. I know you've got a lot of work to do. You're cleaning, sorting, organizing. And I've sent her as a gift to you. We've said, okay. And we've opened the door. We've actually received her and let her inside. But then what do we do? We say, you can sit over there. We continue working. We continue cleaning. We continue sorting and organizing. But the gift that we have received now and allowed inside has been asked to take a seat over here. And you just stay right there. I'm going to keep working, but you can just sit right there. You watch me work, but I'm going to work while you watch. And that's something we could do. Perhaps we feel compelled to finish the task on our own. I need to do this myself. I don't need any help. I don't know why. Why aren't we allowing her to help us? But we must empower and release the Holy Spirit, having received the Holy Spirit, to work in us and through us. Just as that, I'm stretching my analogy, but just as we must come, that IE knows what she's doing. She's good at cleaning, sorting, and organizing. She's been sent as a gift, but we need to come under her direction so that she can help us and empower us to finish the task. So we must come under the direction of the Holy Spirit so that we are not working along in our own strength while he sits on the side, but we are coming under his direction so that he might work in us and through us to finish the task. How long has it been since we have yielded to the overwhelming direction of the Holy Spirit in our praises, in our speaking, the words that we speak, including prophetically, and in our telling others about what Jesus has done for us? You and I know, think about it, on any given day, we use a lot of words. The tongue and the ability to speak is something that we almost take for granted, but every day we will speak hundreds and hundreds of words. Every day of our life, we just speak over and over again. We communicate with words over and over again. We don't even think about it anymore. Imagine if the Holy Spirit could control your mouth, and that when the words that we're mindful of, the words that are coming out of our mouth each and every day. The Bible has a lot to say about this. A lot of the words that are coming out of our mouth. What if we hold and allow the Holy Spirit to bring direction to the words that are coming out of our mouth? What if we used our words to give him praise and give him thanks? What if we asked for our words of praise and thanksgiving to come under the direction of the Holy Spirit? What if we asked that we might speak to others and use our words to speak to others and have conversation with others about spiritual things? What if we used our words and asked the Holy Spirit to use our words to not speak out our own convictions or our own opinions, but to use our words and use the connection between mind and tongue to speak out the convictions of the Holy Spirit? So that what comes out of my mouth isn't just my opinion or just my convictions, but we can use our mouth to speak out the convictions of the Holy Spirit in our conversation with each other. How would that change things? It would change things a lot. It would change things a lot. I was talking to a friend of mine, just recently had a conversation, randomly sitting in a coffee shop, not here in Shanghai, in another place. And he was actually getting ready for a Bible study. He had a Bible open, and the person sitting next to him said, "Oh, it looks like you're reading a Bible." He said, "Yeah." And I suppose he could have pressed on and said, you know, put his head back down, said, I'm preparing here. I've got a lot of work to do. I want to get ready." But he was kind of aware of what, I don't know. He said, "Yes, I am." And he said something like, you know, have you read the Bible before, or do you want to buy something like kind of to take the next step in a conversation? Eventually, she had the whole story. She grew up in a church, but she'd been really away from God. I mean, this whole kind of conversation just went, and he just kind of allowed the Holy Spirit to just kind of lead him in that conversation. He didn't know where that was going. He didn't know I was going to say next. He was just going to kind of just responding to her and allowing, again, the gift of the promise of God to the Holy Spirit to just lead him in a conversation that he was having with her as he began to talk about what Jesus meant to him and what Jesus could mean to her. And she heard that day and she received from him. You know, as we wrap this up, looking back at that particular Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, when the promise of the Father was given, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know what? One of the other things you see as you kind of read through the book of Acts like that, you not only see how the wave of the Spirit moving from from the city to the region to the, you know, on and out and on and out it goes, just moving on like a wave. You also see people filled with the Spirit and what it looks like to be a person filled with the Spirit. There's all kinds of stories like that. As I said, those stories are there so that we know what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit in our generation and see the kingdom come and heaven and earth meet in our generation and where we live. That's there. But you know what else you see there? You see that those 120, those people, as they lived out this experience with the Holy Spirit, continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like a one and done. It wasn't a one-off. We were filled with the Holy Spirit back on that. What was that day? Feast of Pentecost, something like that. What was that day? I think it was a Thursday or something. No, they continued to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have all kinds of things in our life that we have to continually fill up. I have to fill up the minutes on my phone so that I have minutes to use so I can use my phone. I have to fill up the minutes. If we are driving a car, we have to fill up with petrol. There's all kinds of things, right, that we have in our lives. I have to fill up my cupboards with food. We've just come through lockdown. The cupboards are bare. My refrigerator is bare. I need to fill up my refrigerator. We have all kinds of things like this in our lives. We need to continually fill them up. Let's continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And could you or would you, what a perfect time, especially for those of us living in Shanghai right now, after lockdown, right, moving into the new open time, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit again, that we would be filled with the promised gift of the Father again. So nothing to be embarrassed about or like, oh, I ran out or I need to be filled. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. So as we pray today, I invite you to pray along with me. Father, I thank you for this promised gift of your Spirit. I thank you, God, that you didn't call me to follow your Son, and you didn't rescue me and give me new life. You put me on a completely new way of living and then asked me to do that in my own strength, just to sort it out on my own, do the best I can with the little that I have. You have promised a gift, and that gift is a person, the Holy Spirit, to be inside of me, to give me strength, to do so many wonderful things in me as I trust you. And fathers, we're hearing today, the Holy Spirit is present in me to be an effective witness to who Jesus is and who he is to me and who he is for the world. To pray prayers of faith, to pray prayers of faith for healing, pray prayers of faith for your powerful intervention in the lives of the people that we know. Your Holy Spirit is present as a gift to me so that I can be sensitive enough to know what's going around me and to respond to the questions and the concerns of the people that you have put in my life. Not with my own answers, but with the answers and the life of Jesus, eternal life, spoken through me, through us, your community, So, Father, this time has been, as you know, really difficult. We live, those of us living in Shanghai, through a very, very hard time. A time we've been locked down and stressed out, and now the new opening is proving to be almost as stressful, getting tested every 72 hours. What are we going to do? Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, move as you did in days of old over your church, over the centuries, now in us, in this generation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.